everyone, and welcome to Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. I'm Cinnamon Schultz, and I'll be your host today for another episode of the finest radio drama performed by your favorite Kansas City actors. This week, we have episode 12 of our original series, Kansas City 1924, written by local playwright Forrest Attaway. Our sponsor for Kansas City 1924 is Tomstown Distilling Company, downtown Kansas City's first legal distillery since Prohibition. Bringing back the roaring 20s in every bottle, when the king of Kansas City was boss, Tom Pendergast. He ruled over a city of gamblers, speakeasies, and rule breakers. The Paris of the Plains never missed a drop of gin, bourbon, or vodka, and they still don't. Tomstown spirits don't just break the rules, they change the game. You can find their vodka, gin, and bourbon at your local liquor store. Tomstown, the people are thirsty. And I hope you people are thirsty for another taste of Kansas City 1924. And now, episode 12, Frigidus in Terra.
It's mid-November in Kansas City. The buzz of the election has finally worn off, and cool northern winds sober the city streets. The nightlife lengthens in opposition to the rumble-tumble of the warmer months as the music itself seems to progress in the city's hibernation. Charlie Cox and the Livestock Exchange's best boy, Tom, have been charged by Amy Pritchett to find the man who murdered her mother. It takes only a few days to discover the identity of the assailant. It's sweet Anthony Borelli. After a series of near misses and one blown opportunity, the two have tracked Borelli to a stage house behind a Nickelodeon in Boonville, Missouri. Tom crashes through the side door with shotgun in hand. Borelli sits up and reaches for his pistol.
Hands on your head!
Oh.
Hands on your head,
okay,
now!
Okay, officer, hands on my head. There they are.
Don't move, you son of a bitch.
Easy, friend. I think there must be some misunderstanding.
That's where you're wrong. We got understanding for days.
Oh, now, I know you.
Keep that trained on him, Tommy.
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh, the little swamp mouse with blood in her eyes. Now, how did you find me, little mouse?
Shut your mouth.
Hey, how's your girlfriend, hon? Last I saw her, she was very upset.
Shut it, Borelli!
Hey, I get it. I do. You want blood.
Well, damn.
What is it?
Brought the wrong saw.
No, that's the right one.
Saw?
The other one's sharper.
Like I said, that's the right one.
It's gonna take longer.
We got all night.
What do you two have planned? The anticipation is killing me.
Well, I'm gonna hold you down.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie here's gonna cut your head off.
Ow. Let's pause for a minute.
Charlie?
I have an offer.
Turn around.
Turn around?
We're gonna put a slug in your backbone so you can't run off.
Now, damn it. Wait, I said I have an offer.
You got none we want.
You got trouble coming.
We'll handle it.
Oh, Christ! Oh, Christ!
Tie up his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Turn him over.
Oh, just leave me here. I'm not going to survive that shot.
He done soiled himself.
Oh,
sure did, damn.
Yeah, maybe we should do this on the floor. It'll be easier.
Mm-mm. If we keep him on the bed, we can use the covers to wrap him and carry him out.
That will be one less step.
Christ! Hail Mary, full of grace.
What?
The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners.
All on
now
top
of
him while you saw.
Amen. Please just shoot me. Please kill me.
Nah, you're going to feel every tooth of this saw before you bleed out.
Blessed
get on top of him, Tommy.
Amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of the womb. Jesus, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for sinners now.
Maria, Gratia Plena, Maria
gratia plena.
It is rumored that Amy Pritchett had Borelli's head burned and the skull bleached to keep as a souvenir. They say she keeps it on the fireplace mantle. When asked about it, she says it's a prop from a school play. She does take it down once a year on the anniversary of her mother's murder. She puts it in a bag and she travels down to Anthony Borelli's restaurant where she has dinner. And she insists that Borelli's wife share a glass of wine with her. The northern winds blow even colder this second week in December. Feels like a faraway land this ominous night. As Agent Shane Rouse escorts Joey Giovanni from the prison in Leavenworth to a holding cell in Kansas City to stand trial.
Ooh, hell of a night. You know, it's not the snow and ice that I mind. It's the wind. You? Well, you are not what I hoped for, Giovanni. Yeah, I asked for this detail in the midst of a blizzard. I said, give it to me. I'll get the old man here. I want to hear what he has to say. Everyone else scared of a little weather. Joey Giovanni. Prize witness for the prosecution. How'd they do that, Joe? Huh? What'd the FBI offer you to testify against Pendergast? Huh? Must be something big. They burned through our offices like they were fighting typhoid. And still no one had the brass to take the stand. There's only a handful of us left, and we're all being reassigned at the end of the year. So what is it, Joe? What do they put in front of you? You ever been to New Orleans? I'm moving there next month. Not looking forward to it. Good food, bad coffee.
Yes.
Did you say something?
I have been to New Orleans.
Ah, you don't say.
It was a long time ago. I was a young man.
You like fishing?
No.
How about hunting? You ever do much hunting?
You ask a lot of questions.
It's my inquisitive nature, I suppose. Good for law enforcement.
I was scheduled to be in court 2 days from now.
Yeah, that's right.
So why are you picking me up in the middle of the night, so long before my testimony?
Are you kidding? Look around. These roads are going to be impassable tomorrow. Pipes are already frozen at my place.
And you travel alone? No partner for accountability?
What are you suggesting, sir?
Where are you taking me? No, don't take me for a fool, pig.
Hey, maybe I just want a shot at you, Giovanni.
Are you going to unchain me first?
Old man, if I wanted a shot at you, you'd already be in a ditch right now.
Where are you taking me?
It must be hell living in constant fear. Always afraid, never trusting, not able to make even the smallest decision without worrying about retribution from every other evildoer you're in bed with.
You say you don't like the wind, Agent...
Rouse. Shane Rouse.
I know that name. So this is personal?
I don't take anything personally.
What?
My wife left me last month. Took off for Mississippi before the winter. Said she would rather die poor and alone in the South than spend another winter in the North. I believe everything comes around. Life is a circle. So when you slipped past my 2-month operation this past summer and I became a laughingstock, I just smiled and laughed. Because I know, things work out.
Things work out.
Things work out.
Yeah, this is why the ranks of law enforcement are littered with puppets. It must be so enlightening to follow the rules another man has set for you. To not have to think for yourself. You say you do not like the wind because you don't understand it. You see wind and you see an impediment. The wind comes, I see opportunity.
Well, it sure is windy tonight.
So, what can I offer you, Agent Rouse?
Ah, there it is! That only took you half an hour.
I still know people in New Orleans. Yeah. There is money in New Orleans. There is quite a bit of money for a federal agent.
Ah, I'm stepping down from the government, sir. Oh, looks like we're coming up on an accident. Doesn't surprise me.
Are you stopping?
Police have cars on both sides of the road. Looks like someone might have gone off the bridge.
What?
Hey, you think the wind did that?
What? What do you mean when you say you're stepping down from the government?
I mean I'm resigning as of tomorrow. Fact is, I don't see a future in it. Not after losing the Fed's star witness.
What?
Hey, you think the wind blew a car off the bridge?
Wait.
You say I don't understand wind. Maybe this wind picked up a car and threw it off a bridge.
Wait.
Or did the wind...
Step out of the car, please.
Yes, officer.
Your keys.
Here you are.
You're free to go.
Unchain him, boys. Let's get him out.
Sally? Oh, Sally, my friend.
Let's take a walk, Joel.
Yes. Come close. What are you going to do with the agent?
Don't know any agent.
You don't? Oh, this wind. I need a coat.
Keep walking, Joel.
Sally?
You're not going to need a coat, Joel.
What?
Now keep walking.
Oh. So, this is it. This is how it ends. For a friend who has done so much for you and yours.
Well, this isn't about me and you, Joel.
Sally,
listen. Captain, we got a wagon coming. Tell it to turn around.
Oh, they say there's a woman having a baby.
Sally, listen.
Need to get into the city.
Just let it pass.
I was going to lie, Sally. He must know that.
It wasn't his decision alone.
Oh, no.
Your people turned against you, Joel.
Who? Anthony?
Alice.
No!
Quiet.
Sullivan walks Giovanni to the side of the bridge as a horse-drawn Romany wagon passes slowly over the icy bricks. A yellow light spills from the pane glass of the side windows. And for the briefest of moments, Joe catches sight of his young wife, Mia. Moaning
Mia?
In pain.
Mia!
I said quiet. You know as well as I do that this has nothing to do with you and me, Joel.
Well, it does now, doesn't it? So, are you going to throw me from this bridge, Sullivan? I drown in freezing water?
No. We're going to put a bullet in your head first, Joel.
We? You mean you?
No, sir. I mean him.
Who is this? Who are you?
My name is William McDonald. And you killed my brother.
Don't waste time, Willie boy.
Wait!
As the short-range slug removes the back of Giovanni's skull, Willie Boy screams with revenge. Sullivan looks him in the eye and nods. Willie Boy hands Sullivan the shotgun, and Sullivan throws it into the river. With no word spoken between them, the men reach down and lift Giovanni's body up and over the railing. As the body hits the river, the men turn, and each goes his separate way. As the sun breaks that morning, the city, covered in ice, shines like a diamond as even more storm clouds approach. At the 8th Street Baptist Church, Fitzy, Ellis, and George funnel buckets of hot water to a baptismal tub in the back room. Mia slowly lowers herself into the water while Evie and Boca steady her. Rose rushes in with an armful of towels as Boca's dog, Spiro, barks in the background. And Aunt Evie sings softly to comfort Mia.
Now, we can't have a dog in here. This is God's house.
Spiro! The dog says.
Now, listen here,
leave
woman.
It alone.
Easy now, Lewagu. Try to keep your knees back.
Please don't call me that.
Breathe, child.
Mia, I'm your girl.
Get back!
Now hold on, woman. This here is the father of the child.
Get back, all of you. We're not sharing a ham.
George.
I'm not going anywhere, Mia.
Boca!
Head back, child. You hold her head.
Like this? Let Boca feel little cow.
Oh, please stop calling me that.
There we are there. I need a knife.
A knife?
Oh, God, what for?
This little one is trying to walk before it even sees the world. A knife.
I have a pocket knife.
Let us have it, everyone out. All of you out. Not you two.
You stay with me. The rest of you out.
As the men make it into the sanctuary, Mia's pain and screams increase. The pews dance with color as the morning sun shines through the moving trees and stained glass.
We need a doctor, brother, not a witch.
Well, the Lord has provided us a witch.
Christmas service this weekend.
What's that got to do with a thing?
Just pressing. Dogs and witches. Busting up pews for firewood.
We're not burning the cross, brother.
Now, don't bring that into the world.
George, you okay, son?
She's going to be good. Yeah. She's going to be fine.
Yes, son, yes. That woman in there has birthed more children than any doctor you know.
You sure?
I'm sure of it.
I admit it. I was wrong.
Hey, now, son. Why are you so upset?
All of it, Daddy. It's all so...
Lord, give us strength.
Just seeing her face again. Mm. All of you being here, being in this place.
George.
We're here for you.
I'm just trying to say I'm grateful.
There's so much, boy, so much that I don't say. I'm grateful, too.
Let's pray, Uncle Ellis.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Quiet, dog!
Lord God... We're gathered here now in awe of your immense power.
Yes.
As you now see a life into this holy house, may we see your light in all things.
Yes.
Although we have held harsh thoughts in our hearts, you have released us from those bonds.
Be that, Lord.
It is your wisdom and eternal grace that we seek, Lord.
Mm.
As young George here takes on the mantle of fatherhood, may he remember to do all things in your name.
Lord.
Fill our hearts with the peace and patience you have shown us in all your works. In God's name, amen.
Amen.
No. No.
What's going on now?
No. Evie, what is it?
No.
Is it the baby?
Baby's fine.
Oh, hallelujah.
It's a boy.
I want to see him.
It's the wrong color.
What's that?
He's the wrong color. He's not your son.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Nobody.
The world stops that morning. The winter storm lasts for 3 days and puts Kansas City under a sheet of ice for weeks. The coldness falls on George like an army of ants clinging to the broken bow of a ship. The waters that he thought he could navigate have now swallowed him. Love is present, though. He sees it in Mia's eyes, and he feels it spinning in the far reaches of his soul. That New Year's Eve at the Royale, George and his sister play, and approaching the bar is a familiar stranger carrying a bag.
My man's gone, left me without.
Hey, Clem.
Oh, hey, Vincent. Hey, Mike, it's Vincent.
What are you doing here, Holiday?
It's Colby.
Don't care.
Is Alice here?
No, she's in Miami bringing in the new year with some friends.
I just wanted to return the suit.
Oh, that's nice.
Clem, that's why you came here?
Look, the way things turned out...
Turned out? I don't know what you're talking about.
With Giovanni.
Giovanni? Never heard of him.
Right. Well, there is no case now. They're sending me back to New York.
Well, you have a nice day and a happy new year.
Mike!
He don't want to talk to you, Vinny. He's sensitive.
You think maybe I could hang around and talk to Rose?
Not out here, you can't.
I understand.
Why don't you go up to her room? She's almost on break.
You think Mike's okay with that?
Oh, I know he's not. But me? I happen to be a romantic.
Clem slips Colby a key and then promptly knocks over a tray of glasses, which takes all of Mike's attention. As Colby makes his way to Rose's room, he remembers the first time he climbed these stairs. His hand shakes a bit as he opens the door to Rose's room. What is he going to say? The minutes feel like hours until, finally...
What are you doing here?
I came for you.
A little late, aren't you?
Rose.
You should leave.
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't.
No. You could have, Vincent. Or whatever your name is, you could have.
My name is Wayne. I work for the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and I love you.
Just stop.
I mean it. I love you.
I don't believe you, Wayne.
What can I do? Just tell me my penance. I'll embrace it 100 times over.
How about you take yourself and all of the memories you have of us and walk your ass back to wherever you came from?
Rose.
And what sort of a name is Wayne?
I don't deserve you.
Well, you were exactly what I deserved. And I'm better for it. So thank you.
It wasn't intentional.
Oh, yes, it was. Everything you said, everything you did, it all felt very intentional. I just don't think any of it was true.
It was true. The you and I part was true.
Stop it.
Rose.
I called out to you the night you showed everyone else who you really are. I called out to you.
I know.
And what did you do? That's right. You did nothing. You didn't even look at me. I called out.
I'm sorry.
So am I.
I do love you.
How could I ever know that?
Rose.
Goodbye, Vincent.
Oh, I wish I had his black heart in my hand.
As Rose leaves, Colby stands.
Oh, I wish I had his black heart in my hand.
But he doesn't follow.
Ooh, blow it, boys. I'd show you women just how to treat your man.
He turns and makes his way to the window leading to the fire escape where he first saw her in the setting sun.
Yes, I'd kill his soul and dare his spirit to grieve.
If he had it all to do again, what would he do different?
Been lying and crying to ill nature to weep.
He looks back to her bed and then back to the window. The city shines. The ambient noise of the celebration of the holiday is contrary to everything he is feeling. What would he do different? Nothing. As the clock strikes midnight and the new seconds of the new year jump to life, Lockridge sits in his office in quiet reflection. There is a knock at the door.
Am I interrupting?
Mr. Pendergast, no, sir. Not at all.
The wife and I were about to leave, and I wanted to thank you for the party.
Honored to have you here, sir.
You did good work here, Lockridge. I wanted to make sure you heard that from me. You have a bright future ahead of you.
One can only hope, sir.
It's funny.
Sir?
One can only hope. That's funny.
Is it?
The saying is funny. It's sad, really. To think that one can only hope. If hope is all we had, we'd still be living under a monarchy. No, one has to do more than hope in this country if they want to get anywhere. Manifest destiny is the soul of this great country, but action, that is, men of action, are its pumping blood. You have helped put us in a position, Lockridge, that is going to secure the success of our fair city for years to come. Yes, sir. Vision and action, working together. And time, of course. Do you have any idea how many years my family has been cultivating this riverbed? If Jamie were alive to see it now, for what it has become, for what it will become. Great things, Mr. Lockridge. Only great things. To the future of Kansas City.
To the future, sir. Good night.
Yes, sir. The future is ours.
As the year falls into slumber and the new year awakens, Lockridge unwraps a new ledger. The Pritchett clan drink on the front porch. Rose and her brother play into the early hours. Mike and Clem share a quiet smile. And Alice and the Lady Pharaoh wade in the Miami surf, while Wayne Colby walks from the Royale on 12th Street down to Union Station. Alone. And in Fitzy's house, a baby cries. This is Kansas City, 1925.
I'll see you in my dream.
Kansas City, 1924. What a year it was. And the Monarchs won the pennant that year as well. Thanks for taking the ride with us. Starting next week, we will replay the entire series on KKFI. Two episodes a week, Fridays at noon and 12:30. Let's listen again. Featured in this week's episode were Victor Rader Wexler as the narrator, Kyle Dick as Tom, Rusty Sneary as sweet Anthony Borelli, Chioma Anyanwu as Charlie Cox, Sam Cordes as Agent Shane Rouse, Mark Robbins as Joey Giovanni and TJ Pendergast, Mike Ott as Police Captain Sullivan, Jerry Mignon as Willy Boy, Granville O'Neill as Ellis, Vanessa Severo as Madame Boca, Walter Coppage as Fitzy, Natalie Licardello as Mia, Justin McCoy as George, Bree Woods as Rose, Nedra Dixon as Aunt Evie, Matt Schwader as Vincent, a.k.a. Wayne, Jen Mays as Clementine, a.k.a. Edith, Scott Cordes as Big Mike, and Brian Paulette as Lockridge. The episode was directed by Victor Rader Wexler. Sound design and engineering was by John Robertson, and it was written by Forrest Attaway. Kansas City Actors Theater is made possible by support from donors like you and our program sponsors, which include the Estelle S. and Robert A. Long Ellis Foundation, the Muriel McBrien Kaufman Foundation, the Richard J. Stern Foundation for the Arts, the Miller Nichols Charitable Foundation, Theater League, the Missouri Arts Council, Arts KC, and special thanks to Mark and Valerie Andrus. Of course, our exclusive sponsor for Kansas City 1924 is Tomstown Distillery. Tomstown spirits don't just break the rules, they change the game. You can find their vodka, gin, and bourbon at your local liquor store. Tomstown, the people are thirsty. I'm Cinnamon Schultz, and please stay healthy and stay tuned.